The level, the dimension of divine science is just the most precious, the most wonderful place to be. Just to sit in the middle of that model and let it interpret itself and let it elucidate itself within our being is just the most rewarding, the most wonderful place to be. It's a place where the all in all is going on and oneness is going on and nothing is happening outside of that. There isn't a suggestion, there isn't a problem, there isn't anything except that being, you know, just living, organizing itself, being its own model. And that model is not a static model. It's really a Rhea mode. It's the term that David Baum coined. It's the term that Inge Tillich is using in her teachings. And it's a wonderful term. A flowing mode, a flowing model. And that's what you have there. You just have this wonderful operative flowing model that's just always going on and always at work, and it is the model of my being, and it is at work within my being, and nothing else is going on. It's terrific. It's just terrific. And truly, that's the nicest place to stay, because then one never has to encounter, you know, counterfeit of any kind. But for the purpose of this particular meeting, we need to focus in upon other dimensions. And so now we're going to make a transition to the dimension of absolute Christian science. And as you know, the dimension changes our perspective to some degree. It changes our perspective from that of a self-contained circuit, a city four square, an inner operative being, to an open system. It focuses us, really takes us from the model itself to the fun that's happening within the model, right? It takes us to all those wonderful calculations that are going on within the model. And it says, okay, let's put on a stronger lens here and let's see what's going on. If we really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on in the model. And that, bet you've never heard that explanation or interpretation of absolute Christian science level. But anyway, that's really what it is. It's just that place value, that dimension in consciousness, where being is more aware of its details. It's, in old Christian science terminology, principle relating to its idea. But, you know, we just aren't using those terms too much anymore. So we're really seeing now that it's just that incredible activity that's going on inside of that model. And that's where we're going to focus right now. And we're going to do so very thoroughly and very effectively by focusing in upon each individual law that is occurring on the dimension of absolute Christian science. And then, when we're finished focusing in on each one of these laws, we're going to take the whole dimension via the law of spontaneity and explore that as a law of its own. I don't know exactly how much ground we will cover today, but it would be nice if we could get through thoroughly and with love at least the four laws on this dimension. And so, without taking any more explanatory sidetracks, we will focus in on the law of divine impulsion. That law which comes forth from the self-existence of that being. So what we're really exploring here is what kind of activity is going on in that being itself. Just the self-existent being now. We're just now, you see, because we're able to focus in on more detail, we have the license now to divide the whole a little bit, at least just for the purpose of exploration. So now we're just focusing in on the word order. And we're focusing in thereby on the self-existence of being, but not in its whole sense there, but what activity is going on within there. And that's what this wonderful law brings out. It brings out that deep within that being, which as you already know is a 7x7 being, is going on a desire to express itself, an impulsion to bring forth that which it is. So really, when we say that, we're really picking up a reflection of science, aren't we? Because we're really just up in being again. We're seeing it from the absolute Christian Science level, but we're picking up that being itself. Now the absolute part of it, having a desire within itself to bring forth that which it is. Okay? So you have the one subjective being impelling forth all that it is, and it can't bring forth anything less than what it is, because we've already seen it only deals in wholes. It doesn't deal in parts or fragments. It only deals in whole models. So if it wants to bring forth that which it is, it only brings forth the whole of itself. It never expresses little pieces of itself. It's not linear. It doesn't have a time sense. We're not, you know, this is an absolute dimension here. We're just zeroing in on the activity of that model. So all it's doing is bringing forth the whole of its own being. Now we can focus in on the specifics of that and appear to fragment by focusing in on what the mind aspect of that being is doing or what the spirit aspect of that being is doing. But let us never forget that being doesn't cut itself up into 7 or 7x7. It's really the whole of being that is doing that. And so as we calculate and understand through calculation, let's not get so mental that we divide being into many gods doing many things. Let's be real careful that it's the mind of being that's impelling forth its specifics, and the spirit of being that's impelling forth its specifics, etc. So, but basically what we have to see at this place value, and the law that really exists at this place value, is the law of creative impulsion. What's really going on here is just a push, an urge that's going on within being to bring out its true form, to bring out its model, and that model is always perfect. I mean, it never could bring out anything that wasn't whole, anything that wasn't perfect, and it couldn't bring out anything that wasn't preconceived within its being. So it can only bring out what we have heretofore said is a telefinalistic view of itself. In other words, it knows from the beginning what it's going to bring forth. It's no surprise. It can only bring forth what it is. It can only bring forth the model of what it is. But you know, it doesn't want to get bored in there. It obviously has to, because it has a sense of life, it has to keep bringing out new views of itself. It doesn't change itself. It just brings out new expressions of itself. And that's the beauty. Otherwise, I mean, everything would be dull. It would be terrible. But it's infinitely progressive, infinitely expressing itself from within. And so it has this deep creative urge to do that, to express. We experience that sometimes as breakthroughs in consciousness. Breakthroughs of new models, new forms, new concepts, new bright ideas. But they're always goal-directed. They're always purposeful. And if they're not experienced that way, then obviously they've come forth from nothing, from mortal mind, from something totally outside. So, therefore, as we explore this law together, we're going to be focusing in on various aspects of this being doing just that. But we must always really keep in mind, and always when you start exploring or exercise, start out always start out from the fact that the one subjective being is impelled or urged from within to bring forth the entirety of its being within its own teleological perfection, within the model of its own being, the perfection of its own being. So if being has an urge to express the whole of its being within the perfection of its being, then one could also look at it from the standpoint that being is revealing the factuality of its being within its predetermined plan of its own being. So we can look at it that that being is bringing forth, or that being is revealing, and you can alter that to your heart's content as long as it means the same thing. Could bring forth, it could urge, it could reveal, it could project, it could accelerate, it could express, you understand? But the feeling is the same. That, you get a gut feeling, that's all. You just have this feeling that, you know, it just wants to express something. It just wants to bring that which it is to the surface, all right? So, truly, if we see that through the prism, then the mind of being is bringing forth the mind of its mind, the spirit of its mind, the soul, principle, life, truth, and love of its mind, right? Everything we're going to do today is through the 7x7. We're never going to leave the 7x7. So you may get a little bored with hearing the pattern, but it's always there, so how can we lose it? If being brings itself forth as a whole, you can't lose the 7x7. It's always there. So it's intrinsic to any exercise or any exploration that you would do. So in this instance, if you're prisming it, then mind is bringing forth the sevenfold aspect of its mind. That is what it is, right? What else could it bring through? And spirit is bringing forth the sevenfold aspect of its spirit. What else could it bring through? That is what it's bringing out. And soul is bringing out the sevenfold aspect of itself, principle, life, truth, and love, doing likewise. Well, they're really all doing it simultaneously. But for our purposes, we can zero in and focus in on the specifics of how it's doing it. But the thing that's a constant here is the law, the creative urge, the creative impulsion, and what's really going on within that sevenfold being to bring out it, the entirety of its nature, and always purposeful, always goal-directed, never failure-oriented ever. It's not possible. It's always success-oriented. It always brings out exactly what it wants to. It never fails. It isn't capable of failing. It is a system that is always operating and functioning holistically. It's functioning correctly, accurately. Because it has that wonderful sevenfold reflection, you get the implications that it couldn't bring out anything less. It isn't capable of not bringing something out. It isn't capable of not having an urge. I mean, that being, in its desire to express, is so built into itself that the counterfeit there would be that it didn't have a desire to express, that there's no creation, that it doesn't create anything, doesn't bring forth anything. Wouldn't that be the counterfeit there? Or the counterfeit could be that anything else could bring forth something, that the little I could bring forth something, that a fragment of the whole could bring forth something, that something that was detached from the whole could bring forth something. No. No. Only being has a true creative urge, because only being is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So only being has the intelligence to do so. Only being can bring it forth in reality. Only being can identify the nature of it properly. Only being can organize it correctly. Only being can give it life and dynamics and existence. Only being can calculate it properly. And only being has the end in sight. It's not possible, even from the model of our being, for us to be comprehensive enough to have the end in view. It has the end in view, because it has the most holistic, the most comprehensive standpoint. The counterfeit obviously being that anything else could bring forth anything, or that I could bring forth something, or that something could be brought forth that was not true, or that something could be brought forth that wasn't in keeping with that being. In other words, that mind could bring forth unintelligence, that mind could bring forth mortal mind, that mind could bring forth stupidity. No. That mind could even bring forth human thought. No. Only in keeping with its own being. Because that mind is soul, it would have to bring forth identifications of its own mind. It would therefore have to bring forth ideas, not illusions. Right? So that's the reasoning capability here, and there are probably as many exercises as there are individuals in this room. It doesn't matter. I bring you some of mine, and in the little booklet I wrote you out patterns of some, but believe me, they're not the only ones. The only thing that is secure is that you can't leave the box again. And the box in this instance is the law. And the law that's going on at this place value must reflect the self-existence of being, and it must reflect in this instance the operation of that. It must reflect the creative urge that's going on within that being and how that being can and does desire to bring forth that which it is. And from that standpoint, it is a very tight box. And we cannot leave that box. So let's flow just a little bit with that law so that we can get a feel for it without so much explanation. Let's take truth again, since we did on the science level. I guess we didn't focus on it specifically in divine science, but we did a lot of consciousness work there. And let's see that in this instance, truth is desiring to bring forth that which it is, the whole of truth, telefinalistic design of truth. And if we see that in greater detail, then we know that that truth is desiring to bring forth the sevenfold aspect of itself. So it's desiring to bring forth the mind of its truth via the intelligence of its truth, the spirit of its truth via the substance or order of its truth, desires to bring forth the soul of its truth, the identification of truth, the principle of truth, the structure of truth, the system of truth. It desires to bring forth the life of that truth, the very existence of truth, and it desires to bring forth the very consciousness of that truth, the truth of truth, and as the love of truth, the perfection of that truth, the ultimate truth, the integrated being of the calculus of truth. And then if we want to take a little bit more detailed view, we can see that that truth is bringing out the intelligence of its consciousness, and a la Christian Science, that it could never bring out an unintelligent consciousness. That's not within its plan or design. That isn't contained within its model, so it's just not able to do so. That truth is bringing forth the intelligence of its consciousness, and it's an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing intelligence that it contains in its consciousness. It knows every idea that is contained in consciousness. It has that deep within itself. So as that truth desires to bring forth consciousness, it brings it forth from the mind of its being. It conceives the idea of that intelligence. It conceives, the idea of that consciousness through its intelligence. It orders and sets up the reflection of that consciousness through the spirit of itself. And it sets up the identification of that consciousness really within the soul of itself. And that truth is forever bringing forth the operation of that consciousness. It's desiring to bring it forth, I guess is more accurate to the place value, from within the whole of its truth. And that truth is forever desiring to bring forth the optimum of its consciousness. We can just follow the patterns. That deep sense of truth could never bring out a consciousness that wasn't conceived in its mind, that wasn't ordered in its spirit, that wasn't identified by its soul, that wasn't structured by its principle, that wasn't lived by its life, that wasn't given consciousness by its truth of truth, and wasn't planned by the love of itself, the love of its sense of truth. And truly, that's how it brings out the whole telefinalistic picture of its being. Because it has such a clear, comprehensive understanding of that which it is, it could not, if it desires to bring forth something, bring forth anything other than that which it is. So as we focus in on the details, that's not for being's sake, that's for our sake. That's so we can unveil that place in the model of our being where being is bringing forth its being. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, really, that's the position of creation. Nothing else creates. That's the position, as we all remember, of God in the Bible. That's the position of the absolute sense of the days of creation with the let there be. That's the creative urge. You know, it's wonderful. That impulsion that's going on is just coming forth from being, and it's within being, and it can't be stopped. It's part of the life of being. It's part of what keeps it alive. Isn't that terrific? So, that brings us then to what goes on next. Now, of course, we must remind ourselves that there is no next in being. Everything is simultaneous. But for our focus, it's a next. So we are now going to focus in on another side of the operation. I shouldn't have held that up really, because that is a divine science symbol. And truly, at this point, it's another symbol. I have a chart, but it's buried under here. It's really more a cross, an open system, symbolized by terms that you're all familiar with, of the north, the east, the south, and the west, just representing an openly operative system where we can just, it just keeps calculating and calculating itself anew. And how does it calculate itself anew? Well, we've looked at the first aspect of that. We've looked at the fact that it starts with what it is, and it has a desire within itself to bring forth that which it is. Now we're going to look at the next aspect, entitled The Law of Individualization. And this represents the place value where being is able to process itself. It's able to transpose itself. Now, if we go upstairs into divine science for just a moment, we'll remember that what's there is the self-operative being. Well, that self-operative being hasn't gone away. We're just focusing in now on the little details of what's going on in that operation, right? As we, remember, we came down to this dimension, we didn't come anywhere, really. All we did is put on a stronger microscope so we could see into the detail of what's going on. And the detail of what's going on at this point is you're getting to look at that consciousness, and you're getting to see the processing plant of that consciousness. Right? And what is the processing plant of that consciousness doing? It's computing, just like any good computer. It's busy computing. And it computes, and it has a wonderful time, just computes infinitely. It has this incredible energy that is just going on within itself, and it just computes. It's very impersonal, just keeps doing this. It's wonderful. But you know, it has a design and a purpose behind all this. And what is its purpose at this point and from this perspective? It's to take that wonderful being that being is, the urge that it has had to bring forth and express itself, it's going to do it for it. You know, it's the aspect of being that does it. It's the verb, it's the doer, it's, you know, that aspect that's always at work. Great. Isn't that wonderful? If it wasn't, we'd be in real trouble. Okay. So, we're going to put our little micro goggles on, and we're going to focus in on the processing of that being. We're going to focus in upon how that being individualizes itself, and how it specifies itself, and how it brings out that wonderful expression of its own being without ever losing anything. It doesn't lose a thing in translation. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't lose anything. It may alter its appearance, but it doesn't lose one quality of its being. Not one synonymous term gets up and flies away. Not one aspect of itself disappears or gets hurt or endangered in any way. When that being, over in the law of divine impulsion, has desired to express itself, this operation, which has gone on simultaneously, does it. It just does it. It's able to take the whole truth that we were looking at and bring out the individualized forms of that truth, always adapted to the need or the situation within that being. Always. Not adapted to what appears to be your need or my need, no. Always adapted to its goals. Always adapted to solving its equations, its solutions within itself. And those are not negative, always positive equations. Always positive. It just is computing calculations, very impersonally. So from a more religious sense of terminology, we have the one Christ consciousness, bringing out individual Christ consciousnesses, individualized Christ consciousness, which is a universal Savior. That's really seems funny in all this computer language to go back to a symbol that is more biblical, but it's warm, and we'll use it. So we have really here the whole ideal consciousness of being strobing itself. It's stroboscoping itself. It's able to focus in on the specifics of its being without fragmenting or disintegrating the whole of its being at all. I think that's wonderful. With that, you get an incredibly infinite consciousness at work. So conscious that it's able to focus in on every detail, every calculus of its being, and not lose track of any of it. Be consciously conscious of the whole.